Welcome to the Daily Office Lectionary. I'm Father Reed. Today, we're going to look at the scriptures for this week from the fifth Sunday of Easter. There are seven Sundays of Easter, and then we have the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit comes down in Acts chapter 2. And so we continue with our study of the scriptures, and you see them in this post. They are from Leviticus in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, we have 1 Thessalonians and we have 2 Thessalonians, Paul's letter to the people of Thessalonica. And we have the gospel reading from Matthew chapter 6 and 7, which is on the Sermon on the Mount. We looked at several scriptures last time in Matthew chapter 5, which is the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. All right, let's dive into Leviticus. Now, Leviticus, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Numbers, Deuteronomy. Those five books make up the Pentateuch, what's called the Pentateuch. The five books of Moses are sometimes called. Okay. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Now, Leviticus is a very important book, but not easy. So if you have a Bible that has study notes on the bottom of it, the bottom of the page, that might be very helpful for you. Or some kind of commentary or summation of Leviticus is helpful. But it has to do with the sacrificial system and Aaron, who is the going to be the high priest, and his sons, etc., etc. And this is what God wants them to do in terms of atoning for the sins of the people. That's what you're looking for. Because you and I are sinners, there has to be a way for sin to be forgiven. And Leviticus takes care of that problem. Deuteronomy famously takes care of the problem of the law. Leviticus takes care of the problem of the forgiveness of our sins. All right, look at chapter 8. Now, chapter 8 is a very, very, very important chapter in Leviticus, believe it or not. It's the ordination of Aaron and his sons. Just let me read a few verses. Chapter 8, verse 1. The Lord said to Moses, bring Aaron and his sons, their garments, the anointing oil, the bull for the sin offering, always offer something, the two rams in the basket containing bread made without yeast, and gather the entire assembly at the entrance to the tent of meeting. Moses did as the Lord commanded him, and the assembly gathered at the entrance of the tent of meeting, where they were going to meet the Lord. Moses said to the assembly, this is what the Lord has commanded to be done. So, as you read this scripture, 1 to 13, he is going to highlight what God wants to be done. Now, they're not figuring this out by themselves. God Almighty is leading them in this exercise. 30 to 36. Look at verse 27. He put all these in the hands of Aaron and his sons and waved them before the Lord as a wave offering. Then Moses took from their hands and burned them on the top of the altar. The top of the burnt offering as an ordination offering, a pleasing aroma, an offering made to the Lord by fire. So when you read the book of Leviticus, you're going to read a series of chapters that have to do with making offerings unto the Lord. And that is a very important part of their worship. Okay? For example, verse 30. Then Moses took some of the anointing oil and some of the blood from the altar, sprinkled them on Aaron and his garments and on his sons and their garments. So he consecrated Aaron and his garments and his son and their garments. So he's consecrating them unto the Lord. So when they perform the rites that God has called them to do, they will be a pleasing offering to the Lord. You have to do exactly as God said. If you don't do what God says, that's a very, very serious offense to them. So he said, in verse 33, the end of 33, for your ordination will last 7 days, for example. Okay, seven's a very important number. Look at verse 36. So Aaron and his sons did everything the Lord commanded through Moses. Very smart. You do what God says, you're going to be in good shape. You don't do what God says, you're not going to be in good shape. You want to do what he says. Leviticus 16. Leviticus 16 is about the Day of Atonement. Now, that's about as important as it gets in the Old Testament, the Day of Atonement. And as you can see, we're looking at verses 1 to 19 and then 20 to 34. Take me forever to talk about how important this date is. So God is is going to speak again. He spoke to Moses after the death of his two sons, of the two sons of Aaron, who died when they approached the Lord. See what I mean? The Lord said to Moses, tell your brother Aaron not to come whenever he chooses into the most holy place behind the curtain in front of the atonement cover on the altar, on the ark, or else he will die because I appear in the cloud over the atonement cover. So there's a certain way you got to do it. If you don't do it that way, you literally could die. So he's setting forth all the rules and regulations regarding the Day of Atonement. Yom Kippur, you've probably heard of Yom Kippur. They still celebrate it today. Jewish people do. Verse 10, but the goat chosen by lots as the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to be used for making atonement by sending it into the desert as a scapegoat. Okay? All right. Verse 16, in this way he will make atonement for the most holy place. That's the holy of holies, most holy place, because of the uncleanness and rebellion of the Israelites, whatever their sins have been. Okay, so they're not clean. Aaron is not clean. They're making atonement, sacrifice to the Lord for cleanliness. Look at the end of verse 17. Having made atonement for himself, his household, and the whole community of Israel. That's what Aaron is. Aaron must do. Look at verse 20 of chapter 16. When Aaron had finished making atonement for the most holy place, the tent of meeting, and the altar, he shall bring forward the live goat. He is to lay both hands on the head of the live goat and confess over all the wickedness and rebellion of the Israelites, all their sins, and put them on the goat's head, the scapegoat. He shall send the goat away into the desert in the care of a man appointed for the task. The goat will carry on itself all their sins to a solitary place, and the man shall release it in the desert. The scapegoat. The sins of the people are on this goat. All right, this is to be a lasting ordinance for you. Verse 29. Verse 30, because on this day atonement will be made for you to cleanse you. This is to be a lasting ordinance for you. Verse 34, atonement is to be made once a year for all the sins of the Israelites. And so they do that even to this day, once a year. Read that very carefully. Chapter 8 is very important. Chapter 16 is very important. Chapter 19. The various laws. Be holy as I am holy, he starts out in verse 2. It's a high calling from the Lord. Do not turn to idols, verse 4, and make gods of cast metal for yourselves. I am the Lord your God. So he's sharing with you. Look at verse 11. Do not steal. Do not lie. Do not deceive each other. Do not swear falsely, verse 12, by my name, and so profane the name of the Lord your God. Do not hate your brother in your heart, verse 17. Verse 18, love your neighbor as yourself. There it is. 19, 18, love your neighbor as yourself. The beautiful scripture. Verse 26, do not practice divination or sorcery. Do not cut your bodies for the dead and put tattoo marks on yourself. You see that? No tattoo marks. I am the Lord. We're now into Thursday's scriptures that you see in this post. Verse 31, do not turn to mediums or seek out spiritists, for you will be defiled by them. I am the Lord. Do not give yourselves over to mediums or spiritists. Okay? And then verse 37 to close it off. Keep all my decrees and all my laws and follow them. If you keep my laws, keep my decrees, I'm going to tell you what's right. I'm going to tell you what's wrong. Okay? So in Leviticus, we have a little bit of the law there. Very nice. You have some of the law there, okay? And so we've got law and we've got forgiveness. Leviticus has it all. In verse chapter 20, just as an aside, it's not in this post listed. Chapter 20 has to do the punishment for our sin. Chapter 23, the Lord said to Moses, speak to the Israelites and say to them, these are my appointed feasts, the appointed feasts of the Lord, which you are to proclaim as sacred assemblies. So these are the sacred assemblies. I'm not going to go through all of them. I'm just going to point them out to you. You have verses 1 to 44. Okay, you have the Sabbath, verse 3. You have the Passover and unleavened bread. Remember, Jesus was killed during the Passover. You have first fruits from 9 to 14. You have the Feast of Weeks. All right. You have the Feast of Trumpets, 23 and to 25. You have the Day of Atonement. We saw the Day of Atonement in chapter 16. The 10th day of the 7th month, in verse 26, is the Day of Atonement. Hold a sacred assembly and deny yourselves and present an offering made to the Lord by fire. Verse 28, do no work on this day because it is the Day of Atonement when atonement is made for you before the Lord your God. Okay? And then you have the Feast of Tabernacles 33. The Lord said to Moses, say to the Israelites, on the 15th day of the 7th month, the Lord's Feast of Tabernacles begins and it lasts for 7 days. Okay? So you've got the Feast of Tabernacles. These are the feast days that will be very important to Israel. So Leviticus, these are excellent chapters, very important chapters. Chapter 8, chapter 16, chapter 19, and chapter 23. Good overview of some very important Old Testament teaching. Now let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep, those who have died, or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again. Yay, that's good news. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. So the people that have died. So he's saying, what's going to happen to the people that died when Jesus comes back again? And what's going to happen to the living? And the answer is, verse 15, according to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep or who have died. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. Okay? Good scripture about the coming of the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 through 11, just a beautiful, beautiful series of verses. Verse 5, for example, you are sons of the light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the night or the darkness, so we should not be doing evil things. So let us, verse 6, not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled. Verse 9, God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Great scripture. That's what we want. We want salvation in Christ. Therefore, verse 11, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. So he's encouraging the people of Thessalonica. Keep encouraging one another. Keep building each other up. Then we go to verse 12 to 28, a beautiful listing of wonderful short sentences. I like these very much because they're not difficult to understand, certainly. Let's look at a couple of them. Be patient with everyone. Verse 14, always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. Verse 15, be joyful always. Verse 16, pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Verse 18, Verse 19, do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Verse 20, test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. Every kind of evil. Verse 22, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. Verse 23, may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Verse 24. So be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Test everything, avoid every kind of evil, etc. Beautiful, beautiful scriptures. All right, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 12 to 28. Now we look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, 1 through 12. This is about the judgment of God. It's pretty strong. He said, God is just in verse 6. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you and give relief to those who are troubled and to us as well. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. This is the second coming of Christ. He will punish those who do not know God and who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. So there's the scripture. In black and white, in 2 Thessalonians 1, 8. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the majesty of his power. On the day he comes to be glorified in his holy people and to be marveled in among all those who have believed. This includes you because you have believed our testimony to you. Okay? Then he talks about, in chapter 2, the man of lawlessness. I love verse 10. And they perish because they refuse to love the truth and be saved. This is what, in order to have salvation, brothers and sisters, we need to believe the truth. The truth is contained in the gospel. The gospel is about Jesus Christ. The gospel is the message. And the container, the person that's about the message, is Christ. And what we want to proclaim is the truth of the gospel, salvation in Christ. They perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. That's how people perish. Okay? All right. For this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie and so that all will be condemned who have not believed the truth but have delighted in wickedness. You do not want to delight in wickedness. You want to believe the truth and put your hands in, or your heart and soul and mind, in the Lord. 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 through 17 is what we are on right now. We always thank God for you, brothers, beloved by the Lord. Chapter 2, verse 13, because from the beginning God chose you to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. So the belief in the truth of the gospel, they're saved by the work of the Spirit. He called you to this gospel, to this through our gospel. So that's the method and means of salvation, that you might share in the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the teachings we passed on to you. Hold firm, stand firm, hold on. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself, this is my prayer for all of us, and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. Okay? And then finally, chapter 3, 1 through 18, which is the whole thing. So we're basically looking at all of 2 Thessalonians, three chapters. The Lord is faithful, verse 3. He will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. I need all the help I can get to be protected from the evil one, and the Lord will strengthen you. May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance. Okay? All right. He warns against idleness at the end of verse 13 of chapter 3. Never tire of doing right. Never tire of doing right. You can never exhaust the positives contained in doing the right thing. And as we saw in Leviticus, he tells you what those are in chapter 19. Now, may the Lord of peace give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with all of you. A beautiful way to end that section. May the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with you all. Enjoy 1 and 2 Thessalonians. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Okay. We are looking at helping the needy in the first few verses. And then we go to 16 to 18. When you fast, it's telling you what kind of attitude you and I should have regarding fasting. When we go to 6, 7 to 15, 6, 7 to 15, we have the Lord's Prayer. When you pray, when you fast, helping the needy, giving to the needy. Okay. Chapter 6, verse 19. I love this. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So focus on the kingdom of God, folks. Focus on the next life. Focused on eternal. The things that are temporal are going to pass away. The things that are eternal will be here forever. Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. That's verse 19 on your Wednesday. Matthew 6, 25 to 34. Do not worry about your life. That's easier said than done, isn't it? What you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is life not more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Verse 27. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? What is worry going to do? It's not going to extend your life. Why do you worry about clothes? And then at the end, he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. I got to do it in the King James, but let me read it out of my translation here. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble on its own. I think we can all agree to that. So we need to trust the Lord. We need not to worry. We need to store up treasures in heaven. We need to forgive. We need to pray. We need to fast. Again, Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6, fantastic. Chapter 7, 1 through 12. Do not judge, or you will be judged, verse 1. If in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Ask, and it will be given you, verse 7. Seek, and you'll find. I'm skipping over verses. You read these slowly. They're very powerful. And we pray that we can do them by God's grace and mercy. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. Everyone who asks, receive. He who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be open. Okay? God is with you. He is going to answer your prayers. He is going to come alongside of you. Seek him. Submit to him. Confess your sins. Confess your wrongdoing. Make it right with God. Look at verse 13 to 21. We'll close out this section. Enter through the narrow gate. Wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. Small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Watch out for false prophets. He says in verse 20, by your fruit they will recognize them. Bear good fruit. Bear good fruit. Finally, 21, not everyone who calls me Lord, Lord will enter the kingdom of heaven, but who? Who gets to go? The one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. The one who does the will of my Father. So, reading these scriptures will help you and me abundantly to know what it is that God wants us to do, what it is he doesn't want us to do. Again, I refer to Leviticus 19. Don't do this, do this, okay? And then when there's sin, we're going to make atonement, okay? And of course, Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead provided the ultimate solution to the problem by taking his sins upon him, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians, another great two books of the Bible. And then, of course, the Sermon on the Mount, which we will rejoice in because it is such a great book about the kingdom of God and what we need to focus on. Well, that takes us through the fifth week of Easter. We'll be looking at the sixth week of Easter next time. Enjoy the scriptures and your reading, and enjoy this great celebration during Easter of Christ's resurrection from the dead. God bless you abundantly. See you next time.